Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hi everyone, it's Cammy here. Thank you so much for listening to this week's Heart and Hand. If you happen to listen to the shows on the Apple, Android or Spotify platforms, could you please give Heart and Hand a follow on there? They may also ask you to write a wee review, and if you could write us a really good one, we would massively appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Hello everyone and welcome to Heart and Hand, the Rangers podcast. This is your extra show for the week as we begin the Old Firm build-up for this Sunday's game at Ibrox. My name is Cameron Bell. I'm your host as always, and it is my pleasure and my privilege to introduce my guest this week, all the way from the other side of this blue marble, Mr. Rob Shorthouse. Rob, thank you for joining me. What time is it in your part of the world at the moment?
It's dinner time, so I think you'll just have had your cornflakes, and I'm just about to get my dinner. So the amazing world of time differences.
Well, yeah, I'm still adjusting from the clocks going back last weekend, so I couldn't even imagine the calculations in my head of the differences between the two of us at the moment. But thank you so much for joining me. It is a privilege to have you on Extra, and I hope that you're keeping well and still obsessed with all things Rangers.
Yeah, absolutely. The thing about time zones, without becoming like two boring old farts talking about time zones, you basically you calculate it on Rangers. So the Rangers game's either 7 hours or 8 hours behind. That's basically it. You don't think about anything else. It's just like, right, well, if it's a 3 o'clock kickoff during the summer months, it's 10 o'clock here, and you're in the winter, it's 11 o'clock, and that's how you think about it, because Rangers is the only way in which you can properly rationalise anything in your life. So yes, I probably am still obsessed.
I do that a couple of levels up, where I don't really tend to talk in years or talk in seasons. So
not exactly right.
You know, you don't say 2023, you say 2022/23.
Year runs from August to May. Yeah,
exactly. I know I'm not the only person that does that. There's certainly a few of them that will be listening to this as well. Rob, we had a little bit of a change to our scheduled programming this week, as David wasn't able to bring out Flagship on Monday. However, he was able to bring us our Heart and Hand live show in London's West End with Paul Gascoigne. I don't know if you've had a chance to listen to it yet. I know that everyone who has had an opportunity to listen to it, I was obviously fortunate enough to be on stage with Gaza. It's a brilliant show. And what's great, I think more than anything else in terms of his stories, is just being able to hear him in such good health and a good place mentally, I think, as well. So our apologies, listeners, for the fact that there was a little bit of a change, but I think we've more than made up for it in terms of the quality of the show.
Oh, absolutely. So look, I've not listened to it yet, but what I can say is what I know about the impact that it had on you guys. All of us podders, no surprise, we're all in a group chat together. Experienced guys, guys our age, Cammy, including yourself, we're genuinely, excited in the build up to go to meet the man. And then afterwards, the likes of Martin and everybody else just talking about how amazing it was to spend time in his company, what a hero he actually is to all of them. And I guess the underlying thing is exactly what you say is, look, we all know how troubled he is. We all know, the things that he's had to go through in his life, for good and bad. But fundamentally he is a decent human being, and all you really want to know is that he's doing okay, because there's always that worry there with guys, isn't it? That he's been keeping so poorly over the years that one day you're going to wake up and he'll not be there anymore. So just to see the impact it had on you guys, and the build up to it, and then the aftermath. Just the genuine love that you've all got from, which I know is shared amongst all, so many people who'll be listening to this pod and who will have listened to the highlights from the show in London. So yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I'm carving a bit of time to listen to it properly, but yeah, what a guy.
Yeah, and it's funny you mention that, because as you know, Rob, we never record our live shows. This was actually done by our executive producers at Playback, and what was really interesting about it was, because we were, I mean, everyone in the room was fixated when he was talking. I will ask you, because again, you've not had the chance to be able to listen to it yet, but he does talk about a period where he's leaving the club and he's heading down to Middlesbrough. And without a word of a lie, you've said obviously about the guys on stage with him and stuff as well. He actually does get quite upset. And he has to take a pause. And I'll tell you right now, there was several people in the audience and on stage who immediately started to kind of well up a little bit. And it's so strange, because, again, like you say, you're talking about 98% laughter as you're hearing some of the stories and some of his, escapades and all the rest of it. But that single moment, I think, when you hear it, probably complemented by when he went back out on stage, because he after the show had finished and got a standing ovation, as you would absolutely expect. I think it really hits with them now about that period. And it's one of those things, right, and you and I can totally relate to it because we've had it in our lives as well, that you probably just don't appreciate that period or those experiences until, in some cases, very long afterwards. And you can just see as to how much it resonates in his heart about, that point, the players that he was alongside, but also the relationship he has with the fans to this very day.
Yeah. Well, look, I know we're going to talk about the Hibs game and we'll talk about somebody, I'm not saying he's the same player as Gazza, but, when we talk about Tav, one of the things you often hear about Tav is, we won't know how good he is or how good he's been for us until he's gone. And that's, I suppose, with Gazza, we were fortunate enough, you and I were of a similar age, Cammy, that we were of an age to go and watch Rangers when we had, Gascoigne and Loudrup and all these other amazing players. You have that moment of wonderment when you sign them, and then they just become a player who you go and watch, and they're just part of the team. And you love them, unconditionally, the way that you do when you have a hero. But it's, I suppose, now looking back on it, and thinking about just how amazing he was, and you're watching all these games on YouTube and everything else, and you just realise, God, he was just so brilliant. And that week where he went to Middlesbrough, I guess is a case in point about what I'm saying, because there's a lot of people were upset that he was going and saying, oh, this is going to cost us 10 in a row and all this kind of stuff. But he had been so troubled at that point, and his form had dipped and everything else, that there was just a, yeah, that's okay, fair enough, we're going to get some money back from probably right time for him to go. And from a footballing point of view, I suppose that makes sense, but we just loved him so much, not having him there, did become really troubling, I suppose, because not just of his abilities on the pitch, but just the impact they had on the club and the status that he afforded us because he was such a big name in football and everything else. It was just... in danger of rambling here, just because I love the guy so much, but it was just a golden period for us And I think what you're saying is that, you know, that through the show, and he's expressed the fact that he has come to realise it was a golden time for him as well.
Yeah, I mean, that's beautifully captured, I think, in terms of just his mindset towards it as well. So, yeah, like Rob, if you guys haven't had a chance to listen to it, it is on our Patreon, but also our usual free-to-air sites as well. So please get a chance to be able to jump on there and hear that as well. Rob, as you mentioned there, because of no flagship, we didn't really get a chance to cover the Hibs game last weekend. I think for me, I want to say a pretty straightforward game, but obviously some complications because of things like penalty rules. Hibs probably scored a goal, which I think that was pretty disappointing for us to concede. I know that the manager certainly felt that way, and you saw the expression in the players as well when Hibs were able to get a goal back. In retrospect, one of those games, I think, where in the moment, you're probably not overly happy in terms of how we performed, but then, and you, when you look at it in the cold light of day, the next day, relatively straightforward. And I think for me, serving a solid purpose and allowing some of the players who were due to come back from injuries some game time, and in particular, Abdallah Sima as well, who I think a few of us could have felt, well, I don't know if we'll see him again. What were your thoughts overall watching the game and obviously in the few days since?
Yeah, I mean, I think you're right. You know, watching the game, I mean, I just hate VAR now. I mean, it's just ruining the game. I think, look, I completely understand why it's been brought in, and, you know, if you switch off your emotions and passions for it and look at it dispassionately, then you can say it's probably a good thing. But, you know, when you get all this nonsense that we seem to be getting week in, week out, you know, about encroachment and penalties and all this, I just find it absolutely really, really, really annoying. And it's taken a lot of enjoyment out of the game. You know, even just down to the fact that every goal gets checked when it obviously doesn't need to get checked, and you have this sort of delay before people can properly celebrate and stuff. VAR is driving me absolutely potty at the moment, and something needs to change, I think, fundamentally with it, because, you know, things like, you know, being a couple of millimetres offside, or your toes offside, or your toes in the box when a penalty's been taken, and, you know, confusion about what's happened and it's not been properly explained to fans. And so I think my big takeaway was a sort of ongoing frustration with VAR. I thought the goal that we conceded was really, really troubling. And I'm glad that the manager sort of spoke about it the way that he did, because it was a really, really bad goal. We were carved wide open. I thought, not looking to single anybody out, but I'm about to, I suppose, you know, because the whole defence wasn't great, and in fact, the whole team wasn't great for the goal. But, you know, John Souter's got to stop committing himself to tackles. If he'd stood up against his man, that goal doesn't happen, I don't think. You know, it was a bad position that he was in, yeah, because of the through ball, but, you know, he just overcommits himself all the time, and I find myself sort of shouting at the telly when that goal went in. But in saying all of that, the only thing that matters right now is 3 points, and it's a cliche, I know, but with so few games left to go, the big one coming up this weekend, we got the 3 points. We got some game time for some players. The players have had a chance to rest because of the international break and the cancelled game. I think all you can really do is look at it as, you know, another 3 points that's hopefully going to lead us towards winning the league.
Yeah, the VAR one's interesting. And again, I think this is where I'm slightly jealous of you living in the other side of the world, because we are entrenched at the moment in terms of referee debates and, you know, referee decisions. It doesn't... Now, there's an interesting thing about this, Robin. Certainly you'll remember it from a good few years ago, where referees seem to be really problematic and VAR is pish when Rangers are winning. However, when Celtic have clean sweeps, there's no issue with referees. And I'm not really too sure what the connection is there. Maybe someone can tell me. but the, you know, obviously we've got the head of SFA referees, Crawford Allen, more or less been shoved out the door, leaving by mutual consent. Rob, you know, as we know what the statement says when you read between the lines. I disagree slightly in VAR because I'm actually a proponent of VAR. I do think that it can work, but then I think if you've got, you know, poor referees, you're going to have poor VAR referees. Do you mean like there's no getting away from that? Do you mean? However, I think as well, what's interesting to me is VAR just seems to be a huge part of a Rangers world. Whereas when you look at Scottish football, the top flight, I'm going to be selfish and just say the top flight, you know, holistically, there are other issues with referees. VAR seems to be part of ours because for whatever reason, if it goes for us, there seems to be detailed scrutiny that has to go into VAR checks and various other things. However, if it goes against this, it just seems to be waved away. I, you know, think more recently of our game up at Perth when, you know, it seemed to just be waved away in terms of any kind of penalty claims, and then, we eventually got the decision. So I think it is swings and roundabouts. The challenge that we've got at the moment, and I think this is why it was interesting, because whilst I don't really want to talk about Celtic in any capacity, I did find it interesting that Don Robertson was their referee on Sunday. Now, there wasn't too many contentious decisions given in their game against Livingston. But I don't know who's running those scheduling appointments because obviously there's been the furore now that John Beaton has been appointed as the referee for the Old Firm game this weekend. And I think your problem is if you just dislike referees in general because you believe that there's a conspiracy against your club, and a conspiracy that's only started very recently after winning a treble last year, then I think it's difficult to justify why you dislike referees unless you feel that they have something specifically against you if you're a complete crackpot. Right now, we just probably have to swallow the fact that referees are at an extremely poor standard. No one at the moment seems to care that referees are not being supported and their head honchos are heading out the door, you know, rather than be able to try and back them up. We're not investing money into improving refereeing standards, whether or not they go full time, etc. And now we're just in this spin, I suppose, of allowing certain clubs to be able to say and do whatever they want. And obviously some of their fan bases, no one wants to take the reins on saying that, you know, we have to increase the standard. I don't want to say protect referees because I think at times they make a rod for their own back. I really genuinely do. I think we have top flight officials in this country that feel very comfortable being at the centre of it. Now, I'm a, you know, referee myself, Rob, you know, I did it many, many years ago. And my ethos was always, I want to be completely forgotten about after this game. I want to be virtually invisible because I don't want the game to be about me. Some referees in Scotland in our top flight seem to have almost the opposite idea of it. But all of that to one side, I think this is something which we haven't really spoken about in terms of the title running, but that scrutiny on referees is just going to continue and continue to get higher and higher as the stakes get higher and higher as well. And I think it will be interesting to see what impact it has on them if it continues in this fashion.
Yeah, well, look, there's a lot to unpack there. I mean, on the VAR point more generally, look, it's here to stay. You kind of put the genie back in the bottle. So I guess what we're looking for is a sort of fundamental re-examination of, you know, the sort of basic points of VAR about what it's there to actually do, because it's there supposed to correct clear and obvious errors, and it's not. It's intervening in games much more widely than that, and to the detriment of the game. So I think, you know, on that VAR point, I think it needs reform. And personally, I'd love it if we got rid of it, but that's never going to happen. So reform is needed on VAR, I think, and everybody who loves the game could probably get on board with that. I mean, on the second point about referees more generally, I guess I've got a couple of points of view on this, Cammy. One, your sort of assertion that refereeing only becomes more of an issue the more a potentially successful Rangers becomes, I think is just clear and obvious now. Now, nobody was talking about referees back in September, October, when we were garbage and we were sacking our manager. Then we go on a run, we look far more organised, and next thing you know, it's all about, well, why won't referees give penalties against Rangers? So it's, you know, it's not paranoid, it's not a conspiracy. It is just the fact that as Rangers get more successful, the fact that we get our sort of act together and look like we could win things, then refereeing becomes a topic of conversation again. When it's not, and as Davy Edgar's, I've heard him say it many times, you know, that if it is a conspiracy in favour of Rangers, or some sort of Masonic conspiracy at Hampden, then it's not a very good one, given how many trophies Celtic have won in the last sort of 10, 15 years. So I think it is just, you know, self-evident that is exactly what happens. And, you know, if you're trying to be devil's advocate, you say it's just because, you know, there's now a title race, so more people are looking more closely at decisions. But I mean, I just don't think that's the case. It's you know, directly correlated to how successful or how well Rangers are doing is how much people are talking about decisions that may or may not be going in our favour. On the point about refereeing standards, there is no doubt, I think, that there is significant room for improvement in the standard of refereeing, and that's not just going to happen by itself. Something needs to be properly changed. So whether that is full time, whether, you know, it is, you know, I don't know, bringing in referees from different associations, I don't know what it is, but it's just not going to fix itself. You know, we can't just keep on going along doing what we're doing at the moment and expect things to improve just because that's what's going to happen. It's not. You know, the game is much quicker. You know, the technology is putting referees under much more pressure. And we do have people who seem to enjoy, you know, when the camera is on them.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
So something needs to change quite dramatically, I think. And it's, as I say, maybe Crawford Allen moving on, somebody new coming in might have a different perspective on things. But, you know, the one thing you can constantly accuse the SFA of, and obviously I used to work there. But, you know, the one thing about the SFA is it's not an organisation that's quick to change. And you know, you can never really accuse it of being dynamic, but you know, if you do have an opportunity for change, if you have Crawford Allen moving on, then you know, perhaps you can bring in somebody with a fresh perspective. But you know, we've all seen this movie before, and I don't think we can be holding on to too much hope that we're on the cusp of something different, because you know, the status quo seems to be the favoured position of people who run the game in Scotland. So yeah, it's we're not in good shape, Cammy, I don't think, right across the piece.
No, I think that's fair. I think it's a good conversation. I think I know that we've spent a bit of time talking about it, but I think it's good rather than just simply saying referees are poor, VAR's poor. Actually, it just seems to be that we're quite open for some dialogue to say, right, how do we improve it? Like, you know, we should be able to do it, try and do that. And I hope that you're absolutely right. I don't think the SFA are forward thinking. I'd like to hope that the member clubs can come together to say, look, this is a problem that impacts all of us. How do we fix it? And, you know, if we need to, how do we generate money to be able to try and put into it? But listen, we will see. I can't not talk about the Hibs game, Rob, without getting your thoughts on a player that we mentioned at the top of the show. James Tavernier becoming the British all-time high-scoring defender. He threw his wife under the bus in the post-match. Rob, I don't know if you heard this. He had said that his wife told him if he gets a penalty, hit it down the middle. So he's had to move out of the house for the week. but a tremendous, tremendous achievement. He obviously... I want to say this about Tav, and I think, you know, regular listeners to any of the shows that we have on here or our Patreon site, I hold Tav to probably a different standard because as our captain, I think it's an immense responsibility. I think that, you know, there is absolutely no doubt that he is absolutely deserving of his place in the Hall of Fame. His contribution to the team is fantastic. I have been a long advocate for the last year or so that we need to be able to start future-proofing our right-back system, and that is based on being able to try and protect Tav, because I think he's lost a yard of pace, which there's no problem with because he's getting older. That's absolutely expected. But you hit the nail on the head, Rob, when you were saying about, you know, we'll probably appreciate him when he's gone. One thing that you will never, ever see Tav do is not take responsibility. He misses the penalty, but then he pops up with what was just a fantastic goal. And he continues to be a tremendous servant to Rangers. And I'm really pleased that we're going to be able to have an opportunity to see him. He mentioned that obviously there was a slight concern at the end of the game against Hibs of his... of a pool, but he'd mentioned that he hasn't been eating properly this week because he had some teeth removed. So there's no issues, and I'm just so glad that he is going to be able to lead the team out because, you know, whether or not we've won Old Firm games, whether or not that we've been able to come away with a result or whatever we've tried to do, Tav can play in these games. He's scored some spectacular goals in these games. Sadly, because they've been defeats, I don't think too many people will remember him. But I still have all my faith in, you know, cometh the hour, cometh the man. And again, as you've mentioned already, at some stage, when we don't have him, we're going to remember periods like this and what he was able to contribute for us.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's a great summary, Cammy. Look, his numbers are unarguable, right? You know, the numbers alone make him, you know, a really significant player in our history. Because of you know, the goals, the assists, the appearances, his, you know, how much he was signed for, and all that kind of stuff. You know, just if you look at him in a purely number sense, then, you know, he's a terrific, terrific Rangers player. But I think when you're talking about, you know, his general performances, and, you know, his obvious love for the club, the way that he does always take responsibility, the way he always kind of stands up. I think it marks him out as the type of player that, particularly guys of our generation, Cammy, that we absolutely love because we were brought up on Rangers players who were Rangers. You know, they had a very, very obvious love for the club, and I think that you can see that with Tav. I mean, I do need to be honest because, you know, over the years, I guess, you know, Tav becomes a bit of a lightning rod or a totem or whatever you want to call it for the fortunes of the club. You know, when the club aren't doing well, I think, you know, people do, and I include myself in this, do question or find themselves questioning Tav. You know, he's not, you know, even going back to the early days, you know, he's not a great defender. Well, I think he actually is quite a good defender, but, you know, that was always the argument. And then, you know, when we were listless under Van Bronckhorst and under Michael Beale, it was about leadership qualities and all this kind of stuff. So whenever there's all is not well with the team, I think people do tend to focus on Tav. And as I say, I'm not going to criticise MD for doing it because I've found myself doing it myself. But I think that points to the fundamental importance that he has to the team, that he is the player that we think of. So, you know, if we're not doing well, then it's like, well, you know, Tav needs to step up. You know, and I guess that just sort of underlines just how big a player he is within that team. And, you know, if just ask yourself this question: if we were, we're playing that mob at the weekend, and how comfortable or confident would you feel if Tav wasn't in the team? And I think that answers any kind of question. You know, we need him and we want him in the team, particularly in the big games, because he has done it so many times for us.
Yeah, I think I'd refer to that as the oh shit moment when you saw him holding, you know, his hamstring when he was playing against the tail end of Hibs, because everyone's immediate thought, exactly as you've just said, was, oh shit, what if he has to miss the Old Firm game? Yeah. So you're absolutely bang on the money. And by the way, I know that we've spoken a lot, because it's a running theme in terms of our current injury issues. That's nothing to do with injuries. That's to do with what he brings specifically. So listen, I couldn't agree with you more. I think there's also an added piece on that, as you touched on, Rob, as well, that I think, again, continuing that piece on guys of our generation, I think the captain's armband wears heavy. And yeah. I think that there's certainly people I know as well who, you know, they look at him as a captain and then a player and then as a defender. And almost to a certain extent, if you can get him in one of those three angles, then that's what works out. You know, if his crossing is not good enough, or defensively he's been poor, or as a captain he should be taking responsibility. However, I think, you know, if, you know, you are... critical of him in any of those regards, I can guarantee you also had a problem when you saw that in the kind of dying embers of the game last Saturday. So there's definitely swings and roundabouts with him as well. Speaking of our injury lists, and hopefully some good news in that front in terms of, I thought, a very good performance by Todd Cantwell, and I was incredibly pleased to see Abdallah Sima back in the team as well. I did think, Rob, I'd keen to get your thoughts on this as well, that when Sima's injury was announced, and it sounded a lot like we weren't going to be able to see him again this season because of the severity of the injury, but he didn't return to Brighton.
Yeah.
I thought, I wonder if we are maybe looking at him for being able to come back in the running. Fortunately, we are. I'm hoping, and I thought he played well. I actually thought Todd Cantwell played well. What I like about Cantwell is that he gets emotionally involved in the game in the right way. And I think you saw his celebration after he set up the Cyril Dessers goal, that he was back and contributing, which is great. Sima being involved, albeit it was only for, 10 or so minutes, still gives us another option. And if we're able to reclaim the Sima form immediately prior to injury, it's definitely a very useful asset to have.
But the one thing I'm not necessarily concerned about, but the one question mark I suppose we have is who's going to score the goals. Looking ahead to the game on Sunday, I know Dessers has improved and everything else, but he's not prolific and he's not clinical and he's all those things that have been debated a million times before. And Sima is a finisher. And he was scoring a barrel load of goals before his injury. I think you're absolutely bang on the money, by the way. If that was a serious injury, he'd be back at his club. So they obviously knew that there was a good chance that we could have gotten back for the running. So I think that's why he stayed. So I think your point of view on that's absolutely right. But having him back in the team, I think, gives us another option for goals, which is, as I say, the kind of worry, because you've got Silva, you've got Dessers, and there's various debates about the merits of both of those players. I think Silva's a terrific player, but whether he's an out-and-out goal scorer, I don't think he is, and I don't think Andy really does think that he is either. But Sima gets his goals. Cantwell, I think, playing well is good. He is, again, we're reaching for the cliche handbook here, Cammy, but he is a confidence player, and I think when his confidence is up, he plays much, much better. I think he enjoys playing against them. I think he'll enjoy playing against them at home if we start well. And I think that's really, really important on Sunday, is that we start well, because that will get the crowd going. And I think the team plays much, much better when we have that obvious backing. So Sima back, I think, is great, because the option on goals, I think, just generally the return from injury of a lot of players, the rest that we've had through the international break and the cancellation of the Dundee game, I think, is done as well. So, we should go into this game at the weekend feeling confident.
Yeah,
we've got to go to that game, Cammy, in a positive frame of mind, because we have to win it.
Yeah, I think The Dessers one is quite interesting because Cyril Dessers is going to finish on 20 plus goals this season. Rob, I mean, you know, there's no doubt in my mind for that. And again, when you look at the goal from last weekend's game as well, a great finish, gets himself into a great position. I know it's a header that's very close to goal, I do understand that, but, you know, for a guy who needs to feed on goals, he doesn't ever let himself go down with this. And I think something which you've touched on there, which I think is absolutely bang on the money, which is how well we start the game. Because I think that there's been times where, and yeah, you're absolutely right, let's grab the cliche handbook, where sometimes we need to think about the second goal. Now, yeah, the only reason why I say that is because I think there's been a few times where we've been bitten in the arse with it, in terms of we've not been able to get the ball over the line. Seema's not the only one at fault for that, by the way, right? So, Dessers is not the only one at fault for that. Yeah. So let's, you know, let's give him a little bit of kind of slack. But I think, you know, the team do need to realise how important it is to start strong. If you make mistakes, don't worry. I think that, you know, in terms of that, those individuals that we've mentioned, Cantwell, I'm certain, will start. Dessers will start as well. And I think you'd be saying to these guys, don't become embroiled in your head. So in Cantwell's position, I'd be saying, don't get too involved in the furore around it. The atmosphere will be unbelievable. Yeah. I'm sure you boys are all getting together to watch it as a group, so I can imagine what it'll be like with you guys. You can imagine what it'll be like in the stadium. So don't get involved in you know, beating yourself up if you make a mistake. Stay focused and stay positive. And I'd be saying exactly the same thing to Cyril Dessers, because as you mentioned there, Rob, about where the goals come from, I'd be more than happy if we had a multitude of goal scorers on Sunday, as would you. But if that guy is going to be our main point of attack, we can't allow him to have an off day. We can't allow him to not step up to the mark. He's going to have a strong game, in my opinion, against Cameron Carter-Vickers, because, again, he seems very capable in Scotland, even though I don't think he's a great defender. Outside of all of that, he's going to have to make sure that he continues to emulate the things that he's improved upon. Doing his running, you know, making his positions, even if he's creating space for other people, being strong, being nice and physical against that. And I'm hoping that, you know, given those players that we've talked about Tavernier, we've talked about Cantwell, we've talked about Dessers, start thrown into the mix, you know, a strong performance has to come from what I would expect, Connor Goldson and John Souter. John Lundstrom has been excellent under Philippe Clement. And he can play in these games as well. So for me, it's all about these players being able to try and just focus on this 90 minutes and what the repercussions could be if we get a result against it. Because I think psychologically, when we talk about this game and potentially winning in Dundee, and then we start to create a significant gap, I think it starts to tell its own story.
Look, so I agree with all of that. The thing about Clement is that he is a great understander of the game, I think, and the importance of, you know, he talks about this sort of synergy between the players and the fans, and, you know, he understands what it takes to win, and I think he understands how to get that message across to players in a way that Beal didn't, and arguably, even though, you know, the longer time goes on, the, you know, the more sympathy I have for Giovanni Van Bronckhorst, actually. But, you know, Clement knows the importance of getting the players to understand when they need to turn up, and they need to turn up in the big games, and, you know, why that matters. So I think that, you know, he will be speaking to the team this week about exactly what you've just spoken about. This is a chance, not only just to get the points on the board, but to psychologically dent them. Because I think if we win at the weekend, then, you know, it's definitely ours to lose. It's definitely ours to lose. You know, we shouldn't lose the league from that position if we win at the weekend. I know we've still got to go to their place, but I think we could get the points on the board, we could beat Dundee, and we could start to get a bit of a stretch on them. This weekend is so, so important, and I think Clement understands that, and I think Clement has the ability to translate that message to the players in a way that we've not had for the past couple of managers. Gerrard was good at it, I think, but this is so important, Cammy. We must win this game.
Yeah, and I think that the way, and it's funny you say that because it can sound, because I know exactly what you mean, right? And I think everyone listening to this will know exactly what you mean, but I caveat some of that by saying it sounds easy to say, you know, the manager will tell them how, you know, how important winning is, because I think he's setting expectations, because what I fully believe as well, Robin, and we didn't get this under the last two managers, as you say, that he will be very focused on, we deal with this game, and if we win, then enjoy Sunday night, but as of Monday morning, we're looking towards Dundee. It's very much a kind of case of, we just need to draw a line under it and then go for it. And we did have managers, and Gerrard was kind of guilty for this when we did start getting wins against Celtic, was it just felt like we climbed a massive mountain and it was fantastic. And then we kind of, I suppose, in the managers before Flick come on, we did start to do it. And you saw it within, I think, probably latterly towards the tail end of when we get into 55. Gerrard always impressed me because, you know, he would be able to turn up against them and it just became routine. It almost became BAU rather than something spectacular that, you know, we should celebrate for days. I think that the, you know, Van Bronckhorst and Clement, I think, Beale, I think it feels slightly different because I think, you know, you can say to these players, this is all or nothing and we have to leave it all out there and all the rest of it. And then if you get a result, you go crazy and you celebrate or whatever. Whereas I think that Clement will allow them the opportunity to savour the victory if we get one. But then straight after that, he will bring them back to earth. And that to me feels quite similar to a Walter Smith era.
Yeah, this is my point though, Cammy. You know, I think, yes, he will, you know, we'll absolutely say, you know, that this is one game and it's 3 points and all that kind of stuff. But I think the way he differs is that he understands that sort of bigger, wider picture, that this is more than one game because of the impact it could have on the running, and, you know, both in terms of points and the psychology of it. So while I completely agree with you that, you know, he will be right, okay, we move on and we go to the next game, and, you know, all we're thinking about now is Dundee, I think he understands just how important, you know, the sort of psychological edge is in Scotland, and, you know, how important it is for us to view, you know, this game as an important stepping stone to winning the league. So I think it's both. I think he sees both. I think, you know, he can say, look, this is an important game in its own merits. But I do think he understands just how important it is in terms of this team and their ability to win the league. And that is definitely Walter Smith like. It's exactly who I was thinking about as you were talking there. That's what Smith was great at. Smith was great at winning big games when it mattered, but understanding, you know, when to go, when to push, you know, when the big victories needed to happen. And I see a lot of that with Clement as well.
Yeah, and I think, you know, if we win, then I think it'll be a quick, we go out, we get the applause from the fans because, you know, the place will be absolutely bouncing if you know, we get the 3 points. We get in the dressing room, we share that moment together as a group, and then, as I say, Monday morning, you know, we're back to business because we've obviously got the game on Wednesday. So, yeah, I think, you know, we've covered a lot within that perspective, and that's why you and I can talk confidently about this, Rob, because the manager has earned our trust. I don't mean to sound self-entitled when I say that. I always think that whenever, you know, we talk about where we are from a fan base, where I am as a fan, and, you know, why I have the doubts and the nerves and stuff. And listen, we're going to be going through all of that within the next, you know, the next 4 days. But for me, the most important thing now is the manager fully understands what has to happen, how important it can be. If we have a slip up, then it's not the end of the world, because I'm certain that he will keep those players focused. But I, you know, he mentions a lot about the joy of football. That's what he wants to see within the fans' faces. And yeah, I think that the way he's been able to kind of galvanise it on the park and off the park, you said it before, you know, we talked about Tavernier as a totem, as a figurehead. That's absolutely what Philippe Clement is. He's absolutely, you know, what we would always call it, you know, the Prime Minister of Rangers. He's in control of it. He understands exactly what has to happen. And we all follow our leader because we trust him. For me, the most important thing now is that the players believe in themselves. they didn't get into this position by accident. It's taken a lot of hard work. It's taken a lot of improvement and dedication and commitment. I know it's a lot to ask. I totally understand it. We've mentioned on the network already in terms of prior to the international break. We know that players are tired. We know that players had looked leggy and they needed the international break just to try and recover. But we have to go again. And I think that if anything I could say to these players right now is you have earned the right to do this. So trust in yourselves. We trust you. The manager trusts you. And just, again, like I say, go out with that belief and that passion. Start well, as you mentioned. And I think that we could have a very successful afternoon.
Absolutely. You know, look, we've got eight games between now and the end of the season. And we have to start that eight-game run with a win this weekend. If we don't win, I think we're in trouble. I think we've got to win this game for the points on the board and the psychology of the piece, because they have a lot of players in their team that know how to get things across the line because they've been involved over the course of the past wee while, where they won a lot of trophies. We need to knock them off that perch and, you know, show them that we can actually close things out. So I just think this game at the weekend is absolutely pivotal to the rest of the season, and we've just got to win it. And by the way, I do think we will win. So there's a prediction.
Good man. Good man yourself. Well, listen, that will do us for this week on Extra. If you're anything like me, you're probably already starting to go into the YouTube highlights of previous Old Firm games and going down those particular rabbit holes. My wife, thankfully, has been married to me long enough now that she knows when these games come up, Rob, that, you know, I'll just watch a quick game for 10 or 11 minutes and then I'm, you know, away in my own wee world for about, you know, an hour and a half, because I've just watched so many different games with it and stuff as well. So, yeah, it's building up, and I'm fairly certain your own battle fever will be getting, you know, getting on the boil just now, and I think it'll be coming to an absolute crescendo when we get to our time Sunday morning.
Yeah, can't wait. Cannot wait. It's there's nothing quite like it, Gammy. Even from the other side of the world, there's nothing quite like it.
And what is your plans for Sunday, Rob? Are you and the chaps all getting together for it?
Yeah, we'll all be in the supporters club in the Trafalgar and deepest, darkest Wanchai, so there'll be a good crowd, and there's usually people coming through Hong Kong as well, so there's always people sort of visiting the club as well, so there'll be big numbers, and the atmosphere will be good. That can be guaranteed. And, you know, and if we do get off to that great start, then, you know, it's a brilliant occasion. So really looking forward to it.
Nah, fantastic. I hope you and everyone involved have an absolutely brilliant time. Just before we wrap up, I would like to thank our executive producers, Mike Lee and Paul Myers, our show sponsors for Extra, zenithcoins.com. Please head over to see some fantastic merch on there as well. And most importantly for me is to thank my very good friend, Rob Shorthouse. Rob, we do try and align these purposefully within our respective time zones to make sure that you get on, but fantastic contribution as always. I will be making a concerted effort to have you on Extra more often, because more than anything else, I just love talking to you.
It's a pleasure to be on, Cammy, and here's hoping that you and I sort of speaking ahead of big games, because I think the last time I was on Extra was ahead of the cup final. So hopefully, you know, that tradition of us winning big games after we get together on Extra continues this weekend.
100%, I can guarantee it'll become a staple of it. No one else is getting on. If you'd like to hear more from myself, from Rob, and from a whole host of some fantastic podders, and now Mr. Paul Gascoigne, please head on over to our Patreon site, which is patreon.com/heartandhand. David will be back with you as normal on Monday with Flagship as well, unpacking the Old Firm weekend. If you are heading along to the game, if you're heading out to go and watch it, enjoy yourself, stay safe. Let's get a win, Rangers. We are all so desperate for it. We know that we can do it. And now it's over to you guys. And we have the trust and belief in you. Have a brilliant weekend, everyone. And we'll speak to you again soon. Thank you.
Podcast Network.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.